This morning we're going to continue in our look at 1 Peter. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, looking at verses 1 through 7. And many of you might be familiar with this passageway. Many of you, maybe if you've gone to counseling about marital advice, this passage maybe has come up. We tend to look to it for guidance with relationships between a husband and wife. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning. But I want to open up with this statement. What we're talking about is wordless beauty. A person's true adornment comes from within, not from outside. A person's true adornment comes from within, not from outside. In 2019, the market size of the cosmetic industry was valued at $380.2 billion. Imagine that. $380.2 billion. That market size, that market value is greater than some countries in the world's GDP. For a year. By 2027, the projected value of the cosmetic industry is predicted to reach $463.5 billion globally. Wow. Can you say wow? That's wow. $463.5 billion. What do these numbers reveal? They reveal that the word values external beauty. That men and women care about their external appearance. That businesses have done a fine job of developing a market for their goods and convincing people that God's beauty can be improved upon. How about that? Or just simply smelling good, right? The truth is, no amount of cosmetics, ornamentation, or decoration can improve upon the heart of a person that God has created. Cosmetics only run skin deep. The word cosmetics is derived from the word cosmos, which has to do with harmony and order expressed in the orderly universe in which we live. So are we saying that cosmetics bring harmony and order to the universe? So ladies, if you forget to put on your lipstick one day, it's going to be the end of the world. This is indeed what the cosmetic industry will attempt and tempt us to believe, that you can't do without cosmetics. According to the Apostle Peter, Jesus would have us know that outward adornment is no substitute for a heart devoted to Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In the same way, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that even if some disobey the Christian message, they may be won over without a message by the way their wives live when they observe your pure, reverent lives. Your beauty should not consist of outward things like elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold ornaments or fine clothes. Indeed, it should consist of what is inside the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very valuable in God's eyes. For in the past, the holy women who put their hope in God also beautified themselves in this way, submitting to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. You have become her children when you do what is good and are not frightened by anything alarming. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with an understanding of their weaker nature, yet showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I have a friend who grew up in Manitoba, and he grew up in a Mennonite family, went to Mennonite church. And to this day, he shared this with me a couple of years ago. He said, to this day, the elders in the church, every year, design the way the women are to wear their hair when they come to church. This is a true thing. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. He said, my mom just got the new design for this year. That's taking the verse out of context. All right. What is the greatest value to God in a person, male or female? What is the greatest value? Their heart, that's right. The beauty of one's heart. The devotion of one's heart to Jesus Christ. That's the greatest value that God has. Peter has been talking about living as the elected people of God and what posture we are to assume living in the world and times that we find ourselves in. The call to devotion to God is to incorporate every facet of our lives because of the love of Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, dying for you and me. By dying on the cross and paying for the darkness of our hearts, Jesus made a repair that far surpasses and lasts than any cosmetic treatment can hope to cover. The living hope and the love of Jesus Christ should make us living stones that submit to the loving lead of our eternal lover that makes us far more beautiful than any makeup ever could. When we embrace and obey the way of Jesus, our hearts transform, making us beautiful and attractive than any hairstyle, clothing, or ornamentation ever could. Peter's message is both to wives and to husbands, to male and to female, much like the Apostle Paul's message was to the Ephesians. Upright character, fostered and submitted to and in Jesus, will produce behaviors that please God and bring harmony into one's relationships, especially between a married man and woman. Together, not separate. Peter is specifically addressing Christian women who marry unbelieving husbands. See, there were Christian women back then who married unbelieving men during Jesus' time. This is nothing new and will be nothing new going forward with Christian men and women. So the question Peter addresses is, how should you live with your non-believing spouse? As the servant submits to the master in humility, one should live humbly with and before their non-believing spouse. And Peter says, so that even if some disobey the Christian message, the message of Christ, they may be won over without a message by the way their wives live when they observe your pure and reverent lives. So salvation is not just in telling someone. Salvation can result in the way you live your life. An unbelieving spouse may be won over by the devotion of your reverence to God. Peter does not say do's and don'ts, but by the imperishable, which means incorruptible, quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is most valuable to God, he says in verse 4. So what does he mean by that? To be gentle and quiet. To be gentle is not to suggest being timid or to live with weakness of person or disposition, but it's to live meekly, mildly, and or humbly. It is to live with an inner grace of soul, of the heart, toward another like Jesus has towards his creation. What is grace mean? Favor. It's to live with an inner favor of soul, of an inner favor of orientation towards another. That they have good in mind. That they are for you and not against you. to live with and give forgiveness and favor as Jesus has given us forgiveness and favor. Jesus said, "Blessed are the gentle, the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Matthew 5:5. When we express gentleness, we express Christ and model our heritage and our inheritance. So when we express gentleness, guys, when we express gentleness to our wives, we express Christ. We express our heritage. We express our inheritance. We express and model our new birth and our living hope that is in Jesus alone. God looks equally upon one with favor who lives with a quiet spirit, meaning one that is tranquil and still, that is disposed to peace or to live peaceably. Are you disposed to live peaceably and to be at peace? The quiet spirit does not come naturally, but is received and taught through Jesus. Hebrews 12:11 says, "No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the fruit of peace and righteousness to those who've been trained by it." James chapter 3, verse 17 says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, without favoritism and hypocrisy." When you stop and you look and you go, the Apostle James said that? When you read the book of James, James is like giving it to the guys. He's trying to encourage, but he's going, okay, come on, pick it up, let's go. I get the impression from James, it's like he's the hard-nosed disciple. But he talks about being peace-loving and gentle and compliant and full of mercy and good fruits. Isaiah 66:2 says, "This is the Lord's declaration. I will look favorably on this kind of person, one who is humble, submissive in spirit, and trembles at my word." We should ask ourselves this morning, brothers and sisters, how is my makeup this morning? How is my heart? Cosmetics will fade and run, but a heart that's devoted to God never runs dry. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life." One's beauty is found in the hidden person of the heart. How's my heart? The beauty of Sarah. Peter says, women should be devoted to Christ. They should be devoted to Christ just as Sarah was devoted and obeyed her husband, Abraham. Women devoted to Christ express their hope and beauty by humbling themselves to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Verses 5 and 6. Wait a second. Don't get ahead of me. All the women are going, "You want me to call my man Lord?" Not a chance. That's not what I'm saying. But in the culture of that time, women were nothing more than property, and their duty was to bear children. In many parts of the world, this is still the case, especially in Islam. A Muslim man will quite often marry another woman and another woman and another woman, especially if the first is unable to bear him a son. And it's not illegal. It's allowed, and it's a cultural and societal norm. For a woman to call her husband Lord or Master was to give him respect and acknowledge of his position in society and in the home. Sarah was an extraordinary woman. She was also an exceptionally beautiful woman, the Bible records in Genesis 12, 11, and 20. She was in fact courted and received by two kings, by Pharaoh and King Abimelech of Gerar. Abraham, used his wife's beauty to his advantage by presenting her as his sister in order to save his life. You have to stop and ask, what kind of man would do that? What kind of man would ask his wife to pretend to be his sister to save his own skin? How beautiful was Sarah's heart in that she willingly submitted to her husband Abraham's request, not once, but twice. The result was that God brought plague on Pharaoh and a curse of closed wombs on King Abimelech and his household. Because why? Because they took Sarah to be their wife. Hold on. They didn't know any better. Because Abraham said she was his sister. Leads you to believe that, you know what? Any man that saw her beauty should have shook his head and known better. The curious thing is that God was brought glory in both incidences because both kings and their households listened and acknowledged that God was God because of the curses that were brought down upon them. But what still astounds us is that Sarah submitted to Abraham's request. Peter says to both husbands and wives in the same way. Meaning what? In the same way that slaves submit to their masters, or Sarah submitted to Abraham, or as Jesus submitted to the Father, regardless of treatment, a wife and husband are to honor one another. Did we catch that? We are to honor one another. What does honor mean? Honor means respect. Honor means to regard the other person of higher, if you want to say, regard than yourself. And that's where we get into trouble in society today, in our marriages. That one person, one of the spouses, regards themselves as greater than the other. Or that they have more value to the world or than the other. How could Sarah submit to her husband and willingly lie and give herself and allow herself to be given to another man? This is the inner beauty of Sarah. And it's the expectation God has for each one of us. What, so that if I'm this proposition comes to me, that's how we're supposed to react? No, it's the motivation. We're not saying that was right, because ultimately Abraham suffered, and actually Sarah suffered too. Because her womb was closed for how many years? Until eventually they had a son, Isaac. But the womb was closed and closed well beyond childbearing years. And then they get visited and told that, Sarah, you're going to bear a child. What's Sarah's reaction? Right? Laughter. And then she denies it. I didn't laugh. The angel says, yeah, you did. Husbands are called to live with their lives, with their wives, with understanding. Knowing, knowledge, understanding that they have a weaker nature, speaking physically, as a vessel. But regardless, we're to show one another honor and respect, specifically to our wives, because they are co-heirs of the grace of Jesus, the favor of God. One mistake in the garden does not condemn an orientation for life. Because remember, Adam had a choice as well. You want a bite? Adam did not say no. He said yes. Everything a woman and man do is to be done out of respect for one another as the favored, as the elect of God, the created of God, that are made in His image. Just as unbelieving husbands looked upon the lives of their believing wives as a witness to Christ, anyone may be watching you and I to see what a life devoted to Christ looks like. See, for Peter, a wife's living before her unbelieving husband was a witness. The thing is a believing wife fell in love with an unbelieving spouse. Even though, you know, Jesus instructed, that's probably not a good thing to do. Don't be unequally yoked, but it happened. We don't know why it happened. Maybe there was less Jewish men around, less Christians around because Nero was persecuting the people. We don't know why it happened, but it did happen. And so Peter says, you wives, don't complain, but live as Jesus would have you live. He's the example. So live with a quiet and gentle spirit so that that husband may see a wife, a person that is truly devoted to Christ and what that person looks like. And he says, that may bring them to God. But it's just not limited to the wife. The husband is to honor the wife in the same way. As he says the same thing. He says, in the same way. In the same way. Husbands, take your cue from your wives. And the wives take the cue from what? From the slaves and the masters, as Peter puts it in order in his book in chapter 2. And then the slaves and masters took their orders from who? Jesus, the Master and the Father. So it flows down. Peter's working his way through all relationships. In the same way, husbands, love and respect your wives as they do to you. Maybe you have a wife that is, you know, more combative. Win her through your gentleness and your quietness. Win her through her seeing the devotion you have for Christ, as Christ has for the church. What is your witness to Christ to look like? It's to look like Sarah's. A person's wordless beauty must rely on attractive behavior rather than on physical beauty, because physical beauty fades, but Christ does not. So the question is, how's our beauty this morning? Is it only skin deep, or is it Christ deep? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the example of Sarah. Thank you for a woman that lived a devoted life to both you, God, and to her husband. And that she showed us how a marriage relationship is to work, but more importantly, how a person devoted to Christ acts. Father, we thank you for Peter that he listened to your voice, your word, and he spoke these words to the church that he was ministering to. A church that had maybe many women that maybe questioned their choices of what they did, of marrying unbelieving spouses. Or maybe they came to Christ and they were married, so now how do they live with an unbelieving husband? Father, we thank you for your instruction to us. We thank you that there is no condemnation. We thank you that there is love in place. We thank you for the instruction to have a quiet and still spirit, to live humbly, to live with meekness. And that is not being weak, but that is being like Christ. Father, may you bless us with your words this week, with your scripture this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.